and welcome to the Libby's podcast, conversations with authors who've been shortlisted for the British Book Awards, lovingly known as the Nibbies. I'm your host and longtime Nibbies fan, Hannah McInnes. These awards celebrate books and everyone who makes them, honouring the entire creative, collaborative journey of a book, from the author's mind to the reader's hand. And that's what we're going to do on this podcast. Chat to some of today's best-loved authors about their books, their writing, what's gone on behind the scenes to get them to where they are, and those lovely moments when they and the books they've created have found their readers.
My name is Lauren Roberts, and I am the author of the Powerless series, and I'm so excited to be here today.
Well, we are very excited and grateful to have you here with us. And as the author of the Powerless series, just start by taking us into your world for those who haven't had the treat of going there yet.
Yeah, I love to kind of pitch it as the child of the Red Queen and the Hunger Games series, kind of if, you know, when it grows up, it doesn't really resemble the parents. And so there's a lot of powers, and there's basically this plague that swept through the kingdom, and it created the ordinaries, people without powers, and the elites, people who do have powers. And so in this kingdom, our main character, Payden, is an ordinary, and she's struggling to survive in this kingdom of elites and basically pretending as if, you know, she has a power to stay alive. And of course, you know, lots of things happen and she gets thrown into what is called the purging trials, which is basically to showcase the elite abilities, which she doesn't have. So it's dual POV between Payden and our morally gray boy, Kai, and just basically, you know, follows the two of them as they compete in these trials and, of course, fall in love.
You mentioned at the start the Hunger Games, the Red Queen. Did they inspire you, or what inspired this?
Yes, I have always loved the Red Queen. Victoria Aveyard, my queen, honestly, love her. And I was just so fascinated by the idea of like this, you know, segregation of powerful people and not powerful people. And of course, the Hunger Games aspect kind of comes in with the trials and, like, you know, the survival aspect. But I really found that I wanted to play around with the idea that, you know, maybe our main character isn't powerful. Maybe she's the one who is, you know, powerless and everyone around her is powerful. And I kind of wanted to, you know, test that out because I felt like I hadn't read as many books with that sort of dynamic in it. So that was really like the driving force for Powerless.
That's so interesting. What do you think it is that makes you so fascinated by power in that way? And particularly, as you say, by this separation between the powerful and the powerless?
Yeah, I've always loved fantasy. Like that is my genre through and through. And so I love reading about a world where, you know, I don't have powers, unfortunately. And so I think that's always been exciting to me is to the moment that I'm writing or reading is to live in this world where there are powers and such. And so I guess also where it comes in with the segregation that's interesting is I feel like if it were present day and some people did have powers and some people didn't, that's kind of what would happen, is like this hierarchy and this, you know, food chain would kind of, you know, come to be. And so I think it's interesting to kind of just sit in this fantasy world that could be reality if we did have powers in a way.
Yeah. And you say you've always loved fantasy. Have you always wanted to write and write your own and conjure up your own worlds? I know that this is Powerless is your debut, but you've said you hope to have the privilege of writing pretty words for the rest of your life. Have you always wanted to be a writer?
Yeah, growing up, I was very set on just, you know, going to college, getting a degree and working a job, doing something. You know, I was still trying to figure it out. But I always had such a passion for creating and writing. And I used to write scripts for myself and like perform in my basement to absolutely no one. And so I always loved you know, making characters and scenes and different worlds. And so when the opportunity came to be and I had this following and I had the chance to maybe write something, I was totally down. I was like, okay, I'm going to try. Let's see if I can do this. And so it really was, honestly, the circumstances aligned in that I was able to pursue this passion that I never thought I'd be able to. For me, it was really just kind of like a pipe dream until it became this reality. And I was like, oh, wow, this could be my life. And so in a roundabout way, I had always dreamed of writing and creating, but I just never figured it would be a possibility until, you know, I was 18 and in my bedroom writing a book. And it was so surreal and so crazy. And to see how far it's come has been just incredible.
It's interesting. You said you felt you were able to do it because you have this following, and that is a following online. So to just explain how that enabled you to write the book, that community, that following that you have.
Yeah, I honestly don't even think I could have done any of this without the support that I had just behind me. I'm very much an all or nothing person, I've learned. I'm like, I'm either going to write the book and publish it, or I'm just not going to try, you know, and that's not always a great outlook as like an aspiring author, because we know, you know, it doesn't always go perfect the first try. But I had so many people just, you know, supporting and so willing to be there throughout the entire process that it really spurred me on. And even when I was in kind of like a slump of writing, I remember towards like the back half of writing Powerless, I had just kind of got burnt out. I mean, I was staying up till 3 a.m., like, you know, writing every night and then going to school and working. And so, but they really inspired me to keep going because they wanted to read this story so badly, which was such an honor that people wanted to read my words and my characters and things. And so it honestly, I don't know that I could have done it without so many people. And obviously my family and friends too were very much behind this. And at the start, it was really just a passion project. I just loved what I was doing. And I would stay up all night just writing because I loved it. And so I'm so happy to see that this passion has turned into hopefully other people's passion, you know, and it's touched a lot of people, which is so incredible. And yeah, I genuinely don't know how I would have gotten my feet off the ground and like the courage to even do this if it weren't for so many people.
It's so interesting because most writers, until now, until things have changed, don't engage with their readers for a debut, at least, until the book is out in the world. So you were writing with your readers in a way. You were writing your book and your readers were already with you. And these are the mm-hmm. readers on TikTok.
Yes. Yeah. I truly think publishing is looks different than it did, you know, because of social media. And I think there's so many unique ways, you know, authors can be brought up nowadays. And for me, again, like I said, it was a passion project. So it wasn't even really like, oh, I want to amass this following and sell books. It was just like, wow, people really care about this story and they want to come on this journey with me. And so I basically was advertising the book as I was writing it. I mean, I remember sitting down and like reading chapters aloud to, you know, a live stream of people, and they were so excited. And now it's crazy because I'll have people in my comments saying, I remember when you read this on live. Like, I remember years ago when you were writing this scene. And it's just so crazy to see. And I truly think it's such a, like, writing alongside with readers is such a great way to get to like grow a fandom and a group of people that really care about your work. And I think things are changing a little bit in publishing and that sort of world.
I mean, thanks to people like you, and it's absolutely fascinating and a totally different world to many people, a very new one. But of course, then there is the experience away from your online fandom and the online process of engaging with those readers, which came with the experience of publishing the book. And I wonder what stands out for you from that experience, beyond the writing, beyond the online engagement when you were writing till 3 a.m, when it became you and a real team. Tell me about your experience of that.
Yeah, it has been like a weight off of my shoulders, truly, because it was such a crazy journey. I wrote the book when I was 18, and then I kind of sat on it for a while, and I went away to college and basically took the leap to be like, okay, I'm coming home from college. I'm going to publish this book. I was so set on self-publishing. And thankfully, my parents were in total support. I, again, couldn't have done it without them. And I just took 3 months and I just learned how to self-publish, which was such a crazy, crazy time in my life. I was just Googling, like, how do I get ISBN numbers and how do I publish and things? And so I finally got everything together somehow, and I self-published. And 3 months later, that's when Simon Schuster reached out, and they were like, we would love to pick up your book. And the difference between, you know, not only just writing, but trying to do all of the things and publish and get covers and formatting and things like that, to them being able to like hand that over to a group of like skilled people where this is their job has been so insane. It's like a breath of fresh air. It really allows me to just focus on what I love and the writing that I, you know, am so passionate about. And then I can hand those words off to, you know, people who I know it'll be in good hands and they will take care of it. And they are there for anything I need. And it's so nice, such a well-oiled machine. And I don't think I could do it without them. I'm spoiled now that I've tasted what it's like. I'm like, I could never, I can't even imagine trying to do all that again.
And you still kept, though, didn't you, a great deal of influence, and particularly the cover. I understand you designed the cover. And was that very important to you?
It was. I think, obviously, as much as readers say, oh, like, don't judge a book by its cover.
Oh, that is the most redundant cliche ever. Yeah.
Right. I know. I'm like, that, it needs to stop. We all judge books by their cover.
Completely.
And right. And I was so adamant about the feel I wanted for this cover. And at the time, I was self-publishing. So I had found a, you know, freelance cover artist, and I really liked her work. And so I remember I had drawn up this very crude, like, idea of what I wanted. I am no artist by any means. And so I still have it to this day, this like terrible drawing of a sword and vines and things. And so I sent that over to her with like a paragraph of just what I wanted it to look like, because I could see it in my brain. I just didn't have the skill to get it there. And so she took that and she transformed it into everything I wanted. And I remember she sent the first like draft over, and I was like, this is it. And there, we only had a few tweaks from there. And then the cover was born and it was beautiful. And I remember when Simon Schuster, you know, picked up Powerless, that was one of the things I had asked about, was like, is there any freedom here with the covers, you know, this cover and the covers to come? Because I feel very, very strongly about, you know, loving my covers. And they were so willing to work with me on that. And they were like, we don't want to change Powerless at all. Like, we don't want to change the cover. We love it. And so I've also been very involved in the covers of the next books, which has been such a relief. That was something I was worried about, because I was so used to having control over, you know, every aspect of the book and the publishing process when I self-published. And so to kind of hand that control over a bit was a little nerve-wracking, but they have been so, so easy to work with and very supportive of like any decision I have. So they kept the cover, and I've been very involved in the next cover. So it's amazing.
And how do you feel when you see that physical cover in the bookshops, in people's hands?
It is so surreal. It doesn't even feel like me. I have been standing in a store, and the amount of, because I'll just peruse. I go and I spy on people, and I'll spy on my books on the tables and stuff, and I'm kind of walking around. And the amount of times I've witnessed like a group of girls holding my book and being like, oh yeah, like she lives around here and like she did a signing here and I'm standing right there.
Do you say anything?
You know what? I feel so awkward because I'm like, I don't want to go up and be like, oh yeah, that's me. I'm the author, you know? But if people come up to me, it is like, it's so surreal. I'm always like, can I give you a hug? Like I want, it's so crazy that like, you know, when you see numbers of sales and you see how many people are like reading your book, it's just numbers. But then you see at like, you know, signings or at the stores, people reading your book or asking you to sign the book. And it is so like beautiful to put a face to the number, you know, and these are real people who love to read. And it's just so crazy that they wanted to pick up my book. And so it's so, the only word I can think of is just surreal.
Yeah. And do you have any moments of interactions with readers that stand out for you, apart from the ones that you can hear that you don't approach, but the ones that you have actually spoken to?
Yes. The first signing I ever did, was at my home Barnes & Noble, which is the one I like grew up going to. So that was just so incredible to be able to walk in there and like sign my book at this store that I've been going to since I was a child. And I had met so many people. I remember telling my family, like, I will be happy if 10 people show up. Like, I couldn't fathom like a large amount of people. And there was like a line around the store. And I actually had to be told to like hurry up because I just kept sitting there and just talking to people. And there was a girl who had driven 10 hours to come to this signing. And she brought me like this gift basket of goodies and like cat toys for my cat. And I just literally had like tears in my eyes. And I was like, thank you so much. And it was just like so beautiful to see someone care so much about this book. And she had told me a little bit of how, you know, what the book meant to her and stuff. And it was just so crazy to see that. And I like people, they tear up and then I'm tearing up and I'm like, I should be crying. Like, this is such a cool moment for me. And so every person I've met has been so incredible. Like, I've had moms come up in stores and be like, my daughter's a little shy, but she really wants pictures. I'm like, oh yeah, let's go find her. And then I'll like walk around with their mom and like go find their daughter and take a picture. And it really is so odd, but amazing.
It is so wonderful hearing that it is just so far from taken for granted and every moment means so much to you. I love hearing that. And given that that is your experience in your own Barnes & Noble, in your local Barnes & Noble, what does it mean to you that it's translated into numerous languages, popular across the world, and you're interacting with people from all over the world about it?
It is so, again, surreal. It's like the first word that always comes to mind. I got the Spanish edition recently in the mail because I'm slowly, you know, accumulating all these editions. I have like a little shrine in my office of like the powerless copies. And so it was so crazy to flip through that and think that someone took the time to translate, you know, my words into another language. It was like I couldn't wrap my head around it. And sometimes it doesn't even feel like it's me. Like I'll see my name on the book and I'm like, that's me. Like, that's so crazy. And so it's I cannot believe it, truly, that, you know, Powerless has been translated so many times. And I'm just so honored and so thankful for all of it. I love seeing all the different editions, and each country has their own like beautiful twist on it. And so I just can't wait to collect them all.
Talking about your process, your particular process, you said earlier in our conversation that you were writing till 3 a.m, you know, every day, every morning. That was when you sort of mentioned that you were burning out. Do you have a structure or a style, or do you just write and write whenever it takes you?
Yeah, I've tried recently to kind of get myself into a routine of, you know, working a 9-to-5 type of feel. You know, I'm writing, and then, you know, by the time the evening rolls around, I'm going to unwind. And it never ends up happening. I always end up, you know, picking up my laptop at like 10 p.m. and writing until I fall asleep. And I think my brain just works. I think everything quiets a little bit at night and I'm able to really like zone in. And that's why when I was writing Powerless, I honestly was doing way more then than I am now. You know, now I'm like, I have this amazing opportunity to just write. But at the time I was fully in college and I was, you know, working. And the only time I could write was really, you know, in the early morning hours and stuff. So now it's like I have this whole day, but I still gravitate towards the evening. And so I've learned, even if, you know, I take it a little slow during the day and I work on some other things like social media or, you know, some other aspects of the super cool job that I have, I'll kind of, you know, procrastinate till the evening and then I'll kind of write through the night. So that right now is not the best formula, but it's kind of, it's what has been working.
But do you think it's something to do with writing fantasy that you can only go to those worlds at that certain time of day and it's harder in the daylight and in the normal hours?
That is such a great point. And I have thought about that. I think that's it. Is it's weird to like sit in, you know, on in my chair and just write during the day when I can look out the window and see my neighbors just, you know, walking their dog. And I'm like, this just doesn't feel right. And so at nighttime, it's like I turn all the lights off. And I have like, I play box fan sounds like on my phone. It's really weird. Like I need like some sort of like white noise. And so I play that and I just kind of, everything's dark. And so I can just block out the world and dive into a fantasy one. So I think you're right.
And Powerless was, of course, your first, but your, as you've mentioned, writing series. And how do your community, your loyal community that have been there from the start, how do you grow that, interact with that as you go through the process of writing the series?
Yeah, I will say I definitely documented a lot more, I think, when I was writing Powerless. It was like I would film a video of me writing at nighttime, or I would record, you know, a snippet of me reading. And so I was very, very involved during that process. And I think things have just gotten a little busier since then. So now kind of how I keep up is I'll post, you know, like clips of me doing things or of me writing and just kind of silly videos. I just try to like, I try to just stay very present and obviously grateful for everything. I'll post a lot about how crazy all of this has been. And so I really hope it like inspires people, you know, because if I can do it, you can do it type of thing. You know, I never believed this could be my life. And so I think I've definitely slowed down a little bit on social media due to just, you know, busyness. But one of my favorite things is to actually tease everybody, and I'll post like little snippets of, you know, Reckless or the novella Powerful that's coming out. And that is my favorite thing. I just love watching the internet like go crazy. Or I'll post a video with like a 2 second flash of a like spoiler or a snippet. And people will be like, I had to watch this 7 times to pause it on the right, you know, second to read it. And it's just so fun to like see people bonding or like guessing about things in the comments. And I love that.
Brilliant. You said your aim is to inspire people and to put the message out there that if I can do it, you can do it. But how do people who are looking at you and thinking, I want that, particularly in terms of growing that community online in the way you did, as we discussed, that is potentially the future of publishing for so many people, or the future of writing. So what's your advice to people who want to do something similar, build up a community in the way you have?
I truly think the best way to do it is to really just share what you love, particularly with books. That's how I started. Is I really just went online and was like, these are books that I love. And, you know, there's plenty of sounds and like trending things on the internet and, you know, little trends you can follow along to. And so just, you know, talking about books, you know, we all bond over, you know, certain tropes or certain characters and things like that. And so once people find you and they realize that you have similar interests and stuff, like, they will follow you. And if you're creating content and you're just talking about books and things, that is truly how I started, was just rambling. And from there, it grew obviously into, hey, I have a passion for writing. Like, maybe I'll write something. And because I had grown, you know, a relationship with people and they knew my taste, like, I mean, they knew my taste in books, my taste in Morley Gray boys, like, they had known everything that I loved in reading. And so I basically went on there and said, I'm going to write a book with all of my favorite things, which they already knew at that point. And so that was the easiest for me, the easiest segue into telling, you know, the following that I was going to start writing, was just kind of just grow a relationship and just keep it fun. I think once things get a little too serious, you kind of lose, you know, the happiness it brought you. So yeah.
That is very, very good advice. I'm scribbling it all down for myself. Lastly, I mean, talking to you, you have had an extraordinary few years, so many moments that you've described as surreal. I'm interested to know how it feels to be shortlisted for a Nibby.
So crazy. I could not believe it. I remember my editor, Yaz, most amazing ever, and she basically, she like fully sent me, we send voice memos back and forth like almost every day. I mean, I bother her for like 5 minutes at a time, just rambling. And so I remember when she sent a voice memo and was like, you're never going to believe this. Like, this is so exciting. And I couldn't believe it. She was right. It's so insane to me that I'm even a part of this. Like, I'm so happy. It's incredible. And I'm so excited. Also, I'm just so excited to be there. Like, I haven't been to the UK or anything, so I can't wait to just be there and be a part of it and in the atmosphere and, you know, congratulate everybody.
You're coming.
Yes, I am.
Oh, yes. Wonderful. Wonderful. Well, I cannot wait to see you there. Thank you so much. What a pleasure it has been talking to you. Thank you, Lauren.
If you enjoyed today's podcast, make sure to subscribe to the series to hear more conversations with Nibby's authors. And we'd love it if you'd rate it and leave us a review. Do visit thebookseller.com/British-book-awards to find out more about the industry's biggest celebration of books and all who make them. This podcast was produced by Heavy Entertainment.